Good morning, all. I'm only on my second cup of coffee. John Kay, alcoholic, and very honored and privileged to be your panel 67 delegate, member of the agenda committee. In order not to disturb the meeting, please turn off all cell phones and pagers. If you would, please help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Our preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help other alcoholics to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Okay, could I please have a volunteer to read the 12 steps?
Good morning, my name's Marcia and I'm an alcoholic. The 12 steps of AA. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for our knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Good morning, Jean Martin, alcoholic. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
It's an honor and a privilege to be able to introduce our speaker today. Bonnie and her husband Rich both have a long history with Area 60. It was Bonnie that actually found this location that Area 60 has been so happy with. It was Rich that took a chance on me to be the PICPC coordinator to get me started in area service, you know, and that road led to me eventually becoming delegate, and I'm very grateful for that. Bonnie is a past delegate, panel 59, and I appreciate the fact that she was willing to speak so early on a Sunday morning. So with that, I give you Bonnie S.
Morning.
Morning.
My name's Bonnie Smith. I am an alcoholic and also a past delegate, panel 59. And it's good to be here. Well, actually, it's very cold out, you know, but it'll get warm. Hopefully tomorrow's another day. But Jean had called me and asked me to speak, and you know, I just remember a lot of getaways and calling people. That's what it used to be called, the getaway weekend. and you would wait for them to call back, and then, well, maybe I come in, they call it, I'm not going to be there, you know. And things work out, but, you know, it's that panic, like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? So it's not my favorite thing to do, but that's why I said okay, because I just remember how hard it was to get people to do things, especially so early in the morning. Do we have any GSRs here? Oh, that's wonderful. What about DCMs? You're the only one, huh? The one over there? Oh, okay. Well, that's good to see all of you. You know, that's what a lot of this weekend was created for, so that you could learn more and get more interested in service and learn more about also the General Service Conference. I got into service for none of the right reasons. You know, I had a couple years sobriety, and the home group I had at that time, Kim Kelly in Oakdale, one of the men there was going to start taking meetings into the new Allegheny County Jail. And he said to me, and I don't know why, he said, would you be interested in taking a women's meeting in there? And I said, oh, I couldn't do that. I don't know anything about it. I said, sure you could. And so he knew, he at the time was taking meetings into the old jail, and he said, I know people, I'll get it set up. And he did. And it took a long time to get everything started, but I went there and was a nervous wreck and was very frightened and really had a lot of close calls in there. I have to tell you, sometimes I'm not working it full. You know, I took chances in there that I just assumed that people watch what you're doing, and they really don't. There was nobody watching me. There were fights in the meeting, and, you know, it just so happened that at that time the meeting was across from the records department, and one of the inmates saw what was going on and called somebody. or you know, I'm not quite sure what would have happened, you know. But they just, you know. But you know what? I have a lot of gratitude because I would get to meet these people. And, you know, you hear, you say, oh, you know, well, we're going to do something for the inmates. But you don't realize how difficult that is. And in a county jail, excuse me, so many of the women are detoxing as this meeting's going on. Once they get there, they don't want to be there. All they want to do is go home. And their main concern when they would be in there is, I have six kids and I want to go home and take care of them. And I'm like, well, where are they now, you know? But it was good. I took literature in, and that's how I got to get involved in service, because I just felt it was so important that I be able to take literature into these people there. And I came up, my first meeting that I attended, talked to a couple people. They said, oh, well, you know, you need to go to the area. So then I suddenly became GSR. My home group wasn't active in service at all. And I went to the area meeting. The first area meeting I was at was an election meeting. The lady I drove up with was standing for a position and didn't get it. And they asked me to count the votes and put them on and total them up. And Dave Bowman was elected delegate. And so that was my introduction into area service. While I was there, I also had the opportunity to meet a lady that was a corrections coordinator. And she's still, Sue H. is still taking meetings into correction facilities today. 30 years, Chad knows her. She's takes newsletters in, and she just does a wonderful, wonderful job. She is just so dedicated to this. And I have a lot of respect for her. We've become very, very close over the years. So I came up here to get literature. I never did get literature. Never did get literature. Became alternate and coordinator. And you know, I still have a soft spot for corrections. I left that position because you can only do so much. And I also had a family. I had a couple teenagers at home that were working their way in here. And, you know, a husband and a job and just way too much going on. But at that time, I just had a lot of energy. And I just couldn't get enough of it. You know, couldn't get enough of it. And I became a coordinator. And I remember telling John Moore in a past delegate, I said, you know, John, I was so afraid to stand for an office. I just felt that I wouldn't get elected or whatever. And I said, I think I'm just going to be a professional coordinator. He said, well, that's okay. If that's what you want to do, do it, you know. And but, you know, I have to tell you that I'm so grateful for that, because I learned so many of those positions and how the area really works. And so I didn't just, you know, jump off the bus and stand for a position and get it. And so that was good for me. And I can't say that I did them all perfectly, because believe me, you know, what they say is so very, very true. The end of that 2 years, you finally know what you're doing and it's time to rotate out, you know? And that's really the way it should be. And then you try and show somebody else and move on to another position if you decide to stay. And so where I lived in the South Hills, I was kind of close to a couple past delegates. And so that was good for me, because I would see them on a regular basis and see them at their home group, you know. We just did social things together. It was really, really very, very nice. And my husband would say, you know, he'd say to me, where are you going? And I'd say, oh, then we moved the meetings. You know, that election was at the community college in Butler. And then we moved to the Days Inn. And then we moved to the Chevy Chase Center in Indiana. And that was a ride, you know. It just was not a pleasant ride, you know. No matter which way you went, you were in traffic. And we would park in this, they didn't have a parking lot. They had a field. And you parked in the field. That's where you parked the cars. But I liked going there. Nobody else did. So we left there real soon. But you know, some of the places we were, you know, we would go to Du Bois. We went everywhere. And I probably saw more of the surrounding areas of Western Pennsylvania than I ever did, believe me. But, you know, we had such a good time. And one of my pet peeves when I ever hear anybody in service lead is they always say, and I met so many nice people, and I think to myself, well, you know what? We're not putting money in that basket so you can meet a lot of nice people. What'd you do? You know? And you do. You learn a lot from these people. You know, we're so sheltered, so to speak. You know, you go to your home group and go to maybe a few meetings in the area around where you live, not Area 60 per se. But that's all you see. And AA, you know, we really are the same, but just a little bit different everywhere you go. Every meeting is different. And it was a nice feeling after that. And I don't think there's too many meetings I could go to that I don't know somebody in that room. And that really is a nice feeling. And I did meet a lot of nice people, and I learned a lot from these people. You know, different districts we would go to, some of them very large, some of them very small, and how they managed to make things work and carry the message to alcoholics. It was very interesting. It really was. I enjoyed it. The days of sharing, we would just have such a good time. And, oh my goodness, all the food. Very good food. You know. Desserts, no matter what you wanted, they had. And to listen to different speakers. And, you know, at some of the days of sharing, they've changed a lot of them. But I can remember they would do plays. We would do that traditions play. And, you know, they would play games. I'm trying to think, it wasn't Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. We really had a good time at those. But at the same time, we were doing all these things, people were learning. And it was always a good way, you know, we would always have people there that were maybe not sober too very, very long, but, you know, they just needed a safe place to be all day. And they needed something to eat. And so if that's the only reason they were there, that was okay. You know, they weren't always very well organized, but we ought not to be organized, and so that's okay. You know, we also participated in the state convention at that time. And, you know, Joe was one of the persons responsible for getting that thing off the ground. And I don't know whether they still do the state convention or not, but in the beginning there was a lot of hard work put in from both sides for that. And that was a good thing, you know. And then I finally did end up standing for a position, and it was secretary. And at that time we mailed things, so I would have, when there was an assembly, I would have 600 agendas to fold and stuff and stamp and weigh and mail. And, you know, I mean, you just felt like you were never, ever going to get done. Never, ever going to get done. But now, of course, it's so much simpler, you know, but I still like having that hard copy to read, you know, but they do everything different. Nobody gets a paper copy of anything. So, but then we finally did. We left Butler Days Inn and we moved down here, which was certainly much smaller. But I have to say that was partly my decision. I was chairperson at that time, and Days Inn had raised their rates. And, you know, that's the one thing I remember when I was coming here. I remember how cold it was in that room. We were in this huge room, and you know, it would be like, in the 60s, it was just freezing. The summertime, we'd have people coming to the meetings and they'd have shorts on and they'd be shivering, and it was like, you know, you gotta wear sweatshirts here, you know? We have no heat. But we ended up leaving there, and you have to remember, you know, when we have these getaway weekends or pre-conference assemblies or whatever you wanna call them, we're here all weekend and there's no booze, and that's how these places make their money. So it is, they take a chance with us, you know. So what they get their the room paid for and meals, but you know, there's a lot of money made on how we actually got here to begin with. So, you know, any time a hotel or anybody says, welcome back, I think it's a tremendous thing. I think it's a very good thing. Anyway, I became secretary and alternate chair. I did the newsletter for a while. I loved that position. Registrar, corrections, alternate this, alternate that. Chairperson. Chairperson was a lot of responsibility, and it was very overwhelming. You know, and to stand up here, and you never knew how that meeting was going to go, what was going to happen, who was going to say what, who was going to make a motion, you know, and I made some mistakes doing that, but I got through it. I got through the 2 years, you know, and I went from chairperson to delegate. And I remember at that time I was so very, very tired. And after I stood for that position and was honored to be elected as delegate, I thought, what am I doing? I got to get out of here. You know, I had a lot going on at home. I had some health concerns too. I remember that in I was elected delegate in January. I had back surgery, and in February, I was in Maine at Narasa with a brace on my back. But I did it. We flew up. Fortunately, we didn't drive. I wouldn't have. And really, it was cheaper to fly because that would have been a very, very, very long drive. And I remember we were in the basement. That's where the banquet was. And you know, you just never knew where you were going to be when you went to these places. But it was okay, you know. Portland is just a very, when you're riding up and down the streets, they have snow heaps. And you know, we get, 3 feet of snow, and it's a lot. Well, they would have these snow heaps would be like this high, and they'd be in the middle of the road, you know. But that was an experience to go up there in that freezing, freezing cold. And, you know, nerds and everything that went with it. And I also, to go back a little bit, was involved in the area when we had Narasa. And, oh, my gosh, what a wonderful experience that was. We had over 700 people there, and that was one of the biggest attendances in Narasa's history at that time. And you know, we never were able to get that bid back again, and hopefully they will do it sometime. But it is a lot of work. And I think sometimes what's so very hard for areas and anybody else is that so many of us work 2 and 3 jobs, and we don't have the time that we did when I was holding these positions and could say, okay, I have a weekend, I have a Saturday. People are busy. You know, they just don't have the time. I don't think it's that they don't care. They really can't. And you know, it's a different economy. Things are just different, I think. But for me, and the other thing too, I was very new in sobriety when I got involved in all these positions, and it kept me sober. You know, going to meetings, I enjoyed them, but I wasn't one of those types of people that would be going out to lunch and doing this and doing that, and I just wasn't that, you know. I can remember thinking nobody asked me to sponsor them. But, you know, you get to that point. Now I think, oh, why me? Why me? But, which is an experience I've gotten more involved in, because I was never around. I didn't go to meetings in my area. I was here, there, and everywhere. And so, you know, you lose track of that. And when I got out of service and started going to meetings, and I think, oh, I haven't seen that person in a really, really long time. You know, well, I didn't know them, even though I lived right, you know, very close to that meeting. Anyway, I got very more involved in the local end of things when I left service. But as I became delegate and you know, went to NARES and went to all the Northeast regional events, and it was a very learning experience. You know, all of us are here today because our delegate John will be going to the conference in a short time, and anybody who shared that experience knows that that's a very big responsibility. You know, all those 93 delegates and the trustees, and you know, when you walk into that room, and my committee was treatment and special needs, and what I find very interesting is in most cases, the delegates, the committees they get on really aren't committees that they would have liked to be on. But you know, it works out the way it's supposed to work out. You learn a lot in that process, and I really did learn a lot about treatment facilities and in other places in Nevada, and you know, you just learn about AA all over the world. And it's a very good experience when you go to the conference and you realize that when you're voting on these things, and the first year I was there, there wasn't a single night that we got out of there early. I would listen to other delegates and they'd say, oh yeah, we went out that night and we went to dinner. That never happened for me, because we never got out. We were in there till sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know, it just didn't happen. It was a very intense year. They were arguing about things that had happened the year before. And so you still need to correct that and make those decisions and hopefully make things right. And but what I did learn, that was to sit there and all this arguing and to know that my vote had something to do with a line in a pamphlet being changed or a pamphlet being created, was just, my goodness, you know, it was just a very, very, you know, me, you know, the time drunk, making a decision like that, you know, but making a decision for AA as a whole, not Area 60. And that's the difference. So I don't know how you do the pre-conference assembly now, but whatever you decide, you need to remember that John will vote for AA as a whole. And he may get there and hear something that might completely change his mind. And when he comes back, you're thinking, well, what did he vote that for? We wanted him to do this. But no, you know, because he got more background information, he learned more, he listened to the presentations, and so that's what happens there. In my case, I was kind of the first of many things. I am probably the first delegate that missed roll call at the General Service Conference. And, you know, you talk about somebody being in tears. I was terrified, and I just read the thing wrong. And so our Northeast Regional trustee at that time was John Kane, and called me, a very calm man. And, Bonnie, where are you? I said, oh, hi, John, how are you? I said, where are you? I said, I'm in my room, I'm writing postcards. You do know that roll call is in process. I said, oh my God. Well, I thought, you know, they're gonna put me on a bus and send me home. And they said, you need to get down here. So I went down there, I went into that room in tears, and somebody said, I don't think we have the count right. And the general manager at that time was a lady, and that was her first year. And of course, she made me stand up and be counted. And I, you know, after that, it was okay. But I never forgot that. And I thought, oh, how could I have missed roll call? But you know, then things move on. And we also had the experience of electing a Northeast Regional Trustee, which is that's an honor in itself, and it's a whole different process. But you know, the conference, some of the things we voted on, at that time there was a video out for corrections, and the faces were shown, and they felt that that was what they wanted to do, because people were tired of seeing the old video where all you saw were the feet, and you wouldn't see anyone's face. And these were actors, and so they did that, and they voted on that. And so it was my responsibility to come back and not promote that, but say what happened at the conference. And And I did that. And 3 months later, everything we voted on was changed. And that kind of left a not so nice taste in my mouth, but I realized they have that responsibility. But I mean, they were very long, long nights that we discussed this and voted on and made a decision as to what to do. And to see that happen, but you know, that's why they have trustees and that's why they can sit around and discuss things and the General Service Board, and that's what they're there for. They're not weekend warriors like we are. We go up there for a week and think we know everything. And we don't, you know. I can remember watching people get to the podium and they'd say, and they have a timer, and believe me, when that buzzer goes off, you're out. You have to sit down. You cannot continue to talk. You know, one of the first things they tell you is, whatever you do, don't go up there and say, my area thinks, you know, because it's not about my area. It's about AA as a whole. So it really was. But I remember that. And then when I got all that information, because now most of the information, I'm sure they have what they call a dashboard and you receive everything online. You don't get that great big book of background information anymore. So you get everything online, and then they'd have all these emails. I don't know, maybe they're on Facebook. No, I don't know. But you get all this information, and it's like, at that time when I was doing that, I didn't get so much as email. I'm moving these all over the place. Anyway, I didn't get so many emails, but I would get mail. Every day you get mail, every day. And you know, when that stopped, it was like, aw. Now I get junk mail every day, but not quite the same, but I do get mail every day. But when they changed that, I didn't quite, it was just very difficult to realize that as hard as we had worked on these items, and they just said, you know, they changed it. And so then I had to come back to my area and say, remember, well, no, that's not going to happen. And that was very hard for me. I felt bad because that's what they're there for, but still, it bothered me, you know. But anyway, that doesn't matter. What's important is they did the right thing and things move on. And, you know, one of the things I remember, which it made me feel not special, but it was nice to be a part of that, was to put the responsibility statement back into the grapevine, and also that we didn't need service manuals every year, because that's what they would do. Every time there was a convention, or a conference rather, you would have a new service manual. And you know, some of the changes that were put into the service manual were very, very, they weren't big changes that you would pick up and read and notice right away. And it was, you know, a tremendous amount of money was spent on that, you know. So they did change that and a lot of other things, but those were things that I remember arguing about, and it was nice to see that ended up taking place. The other thing I did in New York was, I didn't see anything, but they did take us on a tour of the General Service Office, which if any of you go up that way, please really try and get there, because boy, when you go in and you see that Serenity Prayer on the wall, if that's still how it's done, I know that they did remodel. And just to realize that these people are normal, everyday people. You know, when you call them on the phone or send them emails, I mean, you're going into an office that's just like any other office. It's not real fancy. But very kind people work there, and you see the archives, and it's just a very moving thing, you know. The next year I was in the other part, raised New York, and that was very different, because you really, when you went outside, you were near a parkway. I mean, it was just like, oh boy, you really had to have a car, which my husband did drive me there. And that was nice. But I did finally see, because my big thing was I want to see the Statue of Liberty. And John Kane looked at me and he said, you're not going to see that. I said, well, where is it? I just thought it was right in the middle of, you know, you're not going to see that while you're So we did go up early, and a bunch of us, people that I knew, we went into the city, and we did see the Statue of Liberty and Grand Central Station and a lot of other things that were just I wanted to see, and I saw it on my own time, so that made me feel better. But you know, being in the other facility, I'm sure they do save money, and it was a much bigger place. The rooms were bigger, where we actually held the conference, and you know, everybody has to do what they do to make ends meet. So you know, I also took part in the international convention that year, and 2010 was my last year as delegate, and we were in San Antonio. And what an experience. I'd never been to an international before. That was a nice experience. We had a hospitality room, and you know, when I think of the people that stayed there all that time with me, like Lou Pale, I stepped right up and he said, oh, I'll come in here. And of course, Area 59 was there also, Philadelphia. And Francis Flack and his wife were there. And Pat Brown and Bev were there. Pat and Lou aren't here anymore. And so it just, and of course, they said, don't worry, Bonnie, everything will be fine. And it was fine. We had a good time. It was just a wonderful experience. I didn't leave too often because you felt like you had to babysit, and I really didn't. They had everything under control. They really did. But going outside and walking to the center where all the meetings, where the speakers were, I was in the elevator the one day, and I said, oh, you know, the heat was just doing me in. It was 115 degrees, and he said, honey, that's nothing. And I was like, oh. You know, you could just feel yourself melting into the sidewalk. But what was interesting was we were there for the whole time, and the day after the convention, you know, San Antonio looks pretty impressive when you have all your AA friends and we're walking in the middle of the street and all this. And the next day we walked to different places we had walked to at that time, and it was a little scary. It wasn't so nice when you didn't have 50,000 AA people there beside you to share that experience. So, you know, but it was nice to see San Antonio also, and they did a wonderful job, really, to travel to all those other different rooms. I remember the one room had statues of Bill and the Blues Brothers, and dressed as Bill and Bob. I mean, you know. And, you know, you just kind of never knew what you were going to find, you know, in our other areas. And to meet the people in Canada who do such a wonderful job and drive so very, very far everywhere they go, you know, that was a unique experience at the conference also. We have a couple of delegates up there, trustees, and, you know, they're not driving. They might drive all day, you know. And how different their needs are than ours are. So, you know, and to dealing with people that are in Nevada and, you know, just the different cultures that they have to deal with. So that was all things that, you know, you read about, but to talk with people right there that are dealing with this on an ongoing basis was a good experience for me. And we come back from the convention, and I was also the first ever that had the smallest attendance at a post-conference. We came back from the convention, and that following weekend was the post-conference. And, you know, it's there were 50 people there. I mean, I was like, oh, you know, but it was okay. I mean, at that time, we used to prepare a lot of handwritten things to pass out to people. And I truly enjoyed that. I feel bad that they don't do that anymore, but with the cost of printing and everything, it just doesn't happen. But making individual packets for everybody as they came in, and they don't do that. And so it was like, oh, what am I gonna do with all these? But you know, it was besides the point. But nobody showed up, and I really do, I'm hoping that it was because it was the 4th of July and the convention and everything else. But I remember walking into that room and thinking, where is everybody? They just weren't there, you know. But that's okay, you know. I hope they were having a good time no matter where they were. So now, you know, once you get away, I remember thinking, what am I going to do? I was so involved for so many years that it was hard for me to, you know, I couldn't be a GSR or a DCM. And so I kind of did nothing, but I did have a home group and have always been active. And you know, when they say, we don't need this and we don't need reports, I make sure that they do have them. And I'll say, you know, I'll do the grapevine, you know, because we didn't have one. I said, well, then you need to buy one. I know we can afford it, and so you need to buy one for the group. Please don't bring yours in. Buy another. Get another, you know, subscription. Oh, okay. But I have this one, and I said, no, you know, we can. If the group couldn't afford it, that's another thing. But if they can, then that's how we're going to keep the grapevine ongoing. And I don't know where it stands now. I hope it's still working well. But anyway, that's kind of my service experience, and it was a wonderful experience, and I'm very grateful and honored that I was able to do it. And it really is good to see all of you here today. And remember, you know, it's important. Your vote's important, and you know, it's because someone called and complained about something is how things end up in the background information in this agenda items. We do kind of, GSRs and AA members, we kind of run the show up there in New York, believe it or not. So they're always grateful to hear from you. Thank you.
Okay, that I want to thank you again, Bonnie. That was an excellent lead, and now we're going to close the pre-conference assembly weekend with the responsibility statement. Thank you. I am responsible when anyone anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that, I am responsible.